Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, September 20th, 2012. Our Love, sung by Jody Cross and featured on the new worship resource co-produced by World Vision Canada and Crossroads. The interactive worship package with a devotional guide authored by Jody places an emphasis on social justice and caring for the poor. Jody's on the phone with us tonight to talk about This Is Our Love and how he got involved. Good evening, Jody.
Good evening, Robert.
Now, let's start with a little bit about you in case there's some of our listeners out there who don't know who you are and what you've done. How did you get started in music?
Yeah, that's a good question. It goes back a long way. I started to play guitar when I was a teenager and always had a love for music, and I got saved when I was 16. And so music has really been just a really natural expression for me in terms of my worship with the Lord. And, you know, I guess ever since I've been a pastor, which is now 23 years, I've been involved in music and worship ministry. So starting in youth group and then in college ministry with Campus Crusade and InterVarsity, and then through years just of pastoral ministry, I've always been doing music, leading worship, writing songs, and doing albums as well.
Right. Now, when you were saying you started when you were 16, who were some of the influences you had at that particular point in time as a musician?
Early on, Christian music, you know, was just really fairly new, and there weren't too many Christian musicians that I knew of. But you know, bands like Rez Band, Phil Keaggy, those are a couple of the bands I listened to early on, and then Michael W. Smith came a little bit later. And then, maybe, I guess in terms of worship artists, I was listening to a lot of Vineyard music when it first came out, sort of in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of inspired by Brian Dirksen's writing, you know, and Paul Baloche. I mean, that's a little bit later, but I gravitated to people who were playing acoustic guitar and singer-songwriter types because that's, you know, who I was, and so I really identified with that.
Did Rob and Mark come in there at any point?
Yeah, I knew of his songs, but probably knew less of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knew more of the Canadian North American people.
Right, and of course, Rez Band and Phil Kagan, that you're speaking my language, those were some of the guys I grew up with as well.
Yeah, those guys definitely weren't worship artists, but they were people who, you know, who loved the Lord for sure and were very passionate about Jesus Christ and about proclaiming him. They knew how to turn up the amps too well. Rez Band did anyway.
Well, and the other thing is, too, is they also knew how to turn them down. I mean, Rez Band has an album out there called Ampendectomy, which is just straight acoustic stuff. And so the musicality of those groups at that particular point in time, I think, was a real key influence of people that were coming up and trying to develop that whole understanding how music can be used to be part of our worship with God.
Yeah, for sure. And I know those artists were very ministry-minded. They were very desirous to give glory to God through their music and also to reach out to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming out of listening to mainstream music, just finding lyrics, you know, remember the days as a young Christian, finding lyrics that resonated with my faith in Christ was absolutely amazing. I didn't really even know it existed.
Yeah. Now, who are some of the people that you're looking at currently as some of your influences?
In terms of musical people, again, you know, Paul Baloche, I actually listen pretty widely to a lot of different Christian music. And, you know, Paul Baloche would be one of the guys. Lincoln Brewster is another one. Tim Hughes, Matt Redman, some of the people, Chris Tomlin, obviously, that your listeners would know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening widely to songs. I tend to try to hear as many songs as I can, particularly with the idea of finding songs for the local church that are good, theologically rich songs that are meaningful, that are memorable, and that are lyrical, and that'll you know, help my congregation to worship. So
mm-hmm.
I'm listening pretty widely to Christian music.
Now, how did you through all of this? How did you get involved with the This Is Our Love project?
I met some people from World Vision when I was in Cape Town, South Africa, helping lead worship for the Lausanne conference in 2010, and that began a series of conversations that continued on in Canada. I was invited to lead worship at World Vision in their chapel and for their day of prayer, and we began a discussion out of that. It said World Vision's heart is for justice and mercy,
mm-hmm.
and I had a real burden and a desire to serve in the area of worship and worship ministry and worship training. And so we talked about how we might come together. And so World Vision decided in discussion with me that we would put a resource together for the local church of worship songs about worship and justice, and how that singing our songs and expressing our worship for God should naturally lead us to loving the least and the last and the poor and the needy. And so as that idea unfolded, it grew, and then World Vision's commitment to the local church to resource them was really strong. And then Crossroads came in as a partner, the 100 Huntley Street telecast. Many of your listeners will know about that. The parent organization is Crossroads, and they felt a real synergy with this, and they wanted to partner. And so out of that CD that we were envisioning, the next idea was that let's write a book to go along with the CD. So there'll be music, artists, and a devotional book to go along with it. That's pretty much how it grew.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that some people don't realize is that World Vision not only has the heart for people around the world, but there's also a focus that they have for the local church and for local ministries as well. So there is a Canadian emphasis on helping out in that area with the poor and the needy as well.
There sure is, and you know, part of their heart is to resource the church and to address current issues, to provide forums for dialogue about key issues that are facing our culture and church culture.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's long been my passion to see number one, the worship of God's people corporately in the local church being strong, and to help leaders to lead well, and to help congregations to sing well, and help teams to function well. And but beyond that, not just having our worship be something that we enjoy within the walls of our own, you know, worship services, but then to take that and live it out, and to express the compassion of Christ and express the truth of Jesus, not only in proclamation and speaking, but with demonstration as well, what it means to live sacrificially and to love people in Jesus' name.
Well, I want to explore that, because that's the whole idea behind the This Is Our Love project. But what we need to do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Jody Cross about the This Is Our Love worship resource. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Defender of the Poor by Mike Jansen, one of the songs on the This Is Our Love CD, part of the new worship resource package that Jody Cross has been involved with. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Jody. Looking at this whole idea, Jody, of the whole aspect of this as an interactive worship package, can you sort of describe how this is going to work for people within the local church congregations?
Certainly. The idea was to, we set out to find the best worship songs that were talking about worship and justice. And so through that, we had just about 100 songs submitted for consideration. And we chose 33 of those to look at more closely. And then a panel of judges from across the country selected the ones that they felt were the strongest that matched up with our theme and our focus. And out of that, we had 16 songs, 16 artists, such as, you know, Starfield and Down Here, mm-hmm. Steve Bell, Carolyn Aaron, Sean Dayton, Chris Bray, some of the names that your listeners would recognize.
Yep.
And so each of these songs has with it written a chapter in the book. So, for example, Starfield's song Light of the World has a chapter called Light of the World. And I wrote each of these chapters around the lyric of the song, around the idea of the song, and around the circumstance the song was written. So, for example, you know, I was seeking artists to tell me, you know, where they were when they wrote the song and what scriptures inspired, and also, you know, what God was doing in their life through the song. So the song, in a sense, is a testimony of the artist, and it's grabbing the theological idea behind the song. And then each chapter of the book has a prayer so that the individual can pray and use that for their own devotions. It's got some reflection questions. And then it's got a few steps to how the readers can live that out. So it's interactive in the sense that you can listen to the music, you can read the chapter that goes along with the song, and then you can respond to the chapter, to the music, and actually put that into practice. There are lots of scripture in the book, and this could be something that was used by individuals or by worship teams or by, you know, missions committees or church staff. So I think it's got a lot of different applications.
So in looking at it, for example, a church could take this and say, take a month and use this as a focus and use various devotions out of that and build worship services around it. Pastors can build messages around it. You'd have the whole thing there as a resource that they can use on an individual can use on a daily basis, and then the action steps that people can just pull together and say, hey, let's do this. You know, either I can do this as an individual, or why don't I get a group of people together to do that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's lots of ideas that people could use, and you've mentioned some really good ones. The other thing that I haven't said yet is that as the songs emerged, the 16 final songs emerged, and as I looked at them, I realized that they painted a picture. There's not just a hodgepodge of, you know, various themes. It really, as I put them together, I saw a journey beginning. So if you listen to song 1 to song 16, the journey begins with celebrating the goodness of God and celebrating the grace of God. You know, the Bible says, freely we have received, we should freely give. And so it looks at celebrating the generous justice of God in our own lives. And some of your listeners might be thinking, you know, I don't live in the inner city and I don't have a lot of experience with homeless and poverty. But, you know, I felt that way too. But I realized that I've received mercy. I was lost. I was poor. I was, you know, wretched. And the Lord in his mercy found me. And so all of us really have been in that place of brokenness. And all of us have received mercy. So we know what it feels like to receive the grace and the goodness of God. And the Lord says, out of my love and my work of redemption in your life, take that love and that mercy and that redemption that you've received, go share that with other people, whether it's in your neighborhood or in your city or around the world, whether you give, whether you go, whether you pray, or all of these things. I mean, these are ways that we can all go to make Jesus known in the world.
Well, that kind of anticipated a question that I have, which is like the whole aspect of the theme of social justice and poverty are fairly broad, and sort of how you narrowed all that down, and it sort of, so it sounds like it sort of came out of the songs that led to this journey.
Yeah, and you know, we are aware in some ways of the needs of the world, but in some ways we're very much unaware, and so the journey, you know, begins with celebrating the goodness of God, and then it looks at the next few songs that celebrate the local church. But also, you know, Andy Park's song Revive Us Again says, you know, the church is in need of an awakening, that it's not about us, and it's not about our comfort, and it's not about what happens in our walls. It is partially, but it's not the end of the story. And, you know, Starfield's song talks about the unity of the church working together in Jesus' name. And then the songs open up and to begin to explore the brokenness of the poor and the needs of children. And then there's prayers in the middle, Allie Matthews' song, you know, Break My Heart, Break God's, just Break My Heart, this idea that it was Bob Pierce who had the quote, God, break my heart with the things that break yours. And so there's some songs in there that are asking God to put his heart in us and to feel the things he feels and see what he sees. And then toward the end of the CD, there's a sense of a surrender, a submission, like Isaiah says, here, you know, here I am, send me. My life, Lord, use me. God, here's my time. I surrender to you, and I will go, and I will serve you. And then the very end of the album is ascending. It says, we will answer the call. So the journey from beginning to end, this justice and worship, you know, it's not something that we just invented. In fact, you know, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. And James 1:27 talks about the kind of religion that's pure and undefiled that God loves, is that we should care for the widow and the orphan and to, you know, to keep ourselves unstained and to keep ourselves from things of this world. So, you know, God's heart has always been for the poor and the needy. God's heart has always been that his glory is shining through the lives of his people, and that people will see his goodness through us as we incarnate his love.
I can hear the passion in your voice about that, and I mean, you must have been passionate about this topic to even look at and consider doing it. But as you went through all of this yourself, and as you were writing the material, the devotional material, and working through the songs and talking to the artists and getting the background stories. How did all of this affect you in your own spiritual journey as you were writing and developing all of this?
That's a great question. You know, and it was, I did a lot of reading, and I did a lot of thinking, a lot of praying, and looking in the scriptures. And so, number one, you know, as you look at the lens, as you look through the lens of justice and mercy in the scriptures, you see that in Micah 6:8, and the Bible says that, you know, we are to love justice and mercy and walk humbly with our God. And so, as you begin to see that, you see the heart of God for the broken people. And so, I was confronted with that in my own life. And I think the prayers that are written at the end of each chapter are my prayers for myself. I have in no way arrived in terms of living this out. And I'm a journey, you know, I'm on the journey like everybody else in terms of asking God what it means for me to do that. So, you know, there's a number of ways that I'm attempting to live that out. So my family, we pray for the needs of the world. We have a book called Operation World, and we're being exposed to countries that we've never even heard of before, and praying for the church around the world, praying for broken people in Asia, in Africa, in various parts of the world. We also have a child that we sponsor, and our worship team at my local church sponsors a child, and we pray for those children, knowing that, you know, we can make a difference for one life, and we've long been child sponsors. Also, the local church that I'm part of is doing a church plant in a part of our town that has some pretty needy neighborhoods. And so just this past weekend, we did a prayer walk, and we're really asking God to touch some broken people and to touch the lives of people that were really bound in addiction. And I'm fully expecting that as I keep saying this prayer, you know, to the Lord, God, break my heart with the things that break yours, that God's going to do that. He's going to lead me into opportunities to share Him and to speak of Him, and to challenge, you know, not only myself but others to go and to live this out.
Well, we do need to take one final break, and when we come back, we'll finish our conversation with Jody Cross. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
I've longed for a vision. Could I only follow through on this your great commission? To love just like you do. You've heard my prayers for wisdom, and you've heard me ask for strength. I need your true conviction. Take my life in your hands. Would you
back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Break My Heart by Down Here, another one of the songs that make up the This Is Our Love CD, a part of the worship package that is being put out. And it's also based on Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision's theme, which was Break My Heart with the Things That Break the Heart of God. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Jody Cross. Jody, what's next on the agenda for this? The resource is just coming out, but what's next for it?
This month, 100 Huntley Street is featuring This Is Our Love, and I'm doing daily teaching segments called Truth to Go. Each day of the month, I'm actually going to be teaching on one of the chapters from the book, and the corresponding artist are actually going to be singing. So that's pretty exciting. That's been going on now for a little while, and through the whole month of September, mm-hmm. that'll happen.
Yep.
The next thing that's happening is that radio is going to begin to play This Is Our Love, which is the single from the CD. And then in November, we are taking This Is Our Love on a six-city cross-Canada tour, three cities in the west and three in the east. I believe those dates are 6, 7, 8 of November and the 20th to 22nd of November. So we'll be hitting Vancouver, Calgary, Winnipeg, Toronto, Ottawa, and Halifax. And so my website, jodycross.com, has more information about that. Also on that website, there are chord charts for the CD and more information about the book. At each of the six events that we're doing, I'm also actually going to be teaching a worship seminar to local worship leaders in the afternoons. And the evening events, we'll have a speaker, we'll have worship, music, and one of the guest artists from the CD will be there as our guest with us. We'll just have a great time as a community in those cities worshiping God and talking about worship and justice.
Great. And so they can check your website. And is there anywhere else they can check and find out a little bit more detail on all these things?
Yeah, jodycross.com and the World Vision website, worldvision.ca. I actually don't have the exact web address, but...
Yeah, you can just Google World Vision Canada and it'll pop up.
Project and Google, it'll pop up and they'll find it.
Great. Well, Jody, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, and thanks for discussing this topic.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Jody Cross. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries.ca, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.